Everyone, I open the special general council meeting. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I advise everyone that the audio of this general council, special general council meeting will be recorded, will be made available on the City of Marion website. Does any elected member foreshadow potential conflict of interest with any item on the agenda? There being none, I'll keep going. Now we go to a report for the Edwardstown Club item with a refined set of recommendations. So first of all, because the people concerned don't know this stuff, would someone like to move that we go into confidence? Moved, Councillor Valescu, seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. So we're on.
Okay, members, we've come to the election of the Garrock representatives. As you can see, there are 9 candidates. Your ballot papers are on your desks.
Sorry, just members through the chair. We only need to use the ballot paper if there is more than one person that we would that members would like to nominate. Only one vacancy. I just raised that because we may, as a group, as our mayor is obviously nominating, if a member wants to move that we vote for Mayor Hannah, then we won't require the ballot papers.
Councillor Valescu.
Mayor Hannah for the position.
Councillor Clancy has a question.
You can only nominate, you can only vote for one person on the ballot paper.
Is there a seconder for that? Councillor Masika. Is there any dissent? Yeah, Councillor Hull, question.
What would the LGA think of this?
Governance? Or Mr. Skull?
Thank you, Chair. I don't know. I haven't asked them.
Councillor Duncan?
So members, just to clarify, if members, so there is a live motion, so we'll need to vote on that. However, if that fails and there is more than one person that members would like to vote for, that was when we would go to a ballot.
Is there anyone else supporting the motion? If there's no further... The motion is that we appoint Mayor Hannah to the Garrock. So I've got a mover, I've got a seconder. Is there any more people speaking for that? Otherwise, I'll move to the mover to close the debate, even though there's not really a debate. I'll put it to the vote. All four. That's carried by majority, but all against. Thank you. So the motion's carried in the majority.
It's a little bit tricky because I wasn't voting against him being elected and voting against him according to a ballot. I'm not really sure what this is.
I will ask for some further clarification from governance to In your minds, members?
So the decision's been made, it has passed, so we can't actually go back. However, what you would have been doing is, if members wanted to vote for more than one person, then we would have needed to seek nominations from members of who those people would be. Then we would do an informal ballot. The outcome of the formal ballot, whoever was won that ballot, would then be what we put within the motion. Then we would request a mover and a seconder for that person. So it would only have been if there was more than one person that members wanted to vote on to put on the ballot paper. No, no. The final vote would never have been a secret. It would never have been a secret ballot.
Does someone want to let know the mayor can return to the chamber?
Thank you, Your Worship. It's been quite a week and there's a lot happening, and of course there'd be nobody in the room who wouldn't have been subjected to all of the happenings around this unprecedented situation in which we find ourselves. What I'd like to do is to give you a situation report and then talk about the various things that the City of Marion are doing and have done and are proposing. The SITREP is that it's changing by the hour, but there are 246,020 cases of COVID-19 in the world at the moment, with 10,049 deaths. There are 814 cases in Australia, up 58 since yesterday, with 7 people who've departed. And in South Australia, we've got 42 cases with 0 deceased and no significant community transmission. The Local Government Functional Support Group has taken over management of this for the Local Government Association, and we had a cook-up meeting with them today. They're actively running the response now for the pandemic for the sector. Local government has got obligations to maintain the delivery of essential public services, and the government's made it very clear that they expect that of us to help them to manage this situation. Council's mandatory reporting to that end starts next week. And we have to have, in each council of the 68, a COVID-19 contact person. And we have to report on the number of cases confirmed, the numbers in self-isolation, the numbers who've isolated and come back at work because of a negative clearance, and the numbers of who come back to work who were positive but have actually recovered. We also need, through this reporting process, and it is quite simple, to report any community issues that are arising and any PPE, protective equipment and resource issues, and there have been a lot. Our incident management team has been in place since Monday, as you know, and we're enacting the business continuity plan as from next week, and that's going to be in place for the medium to long term, because our mail is that this isn't going to last just a few weeks, it's a minimum of 6 months. The Local Government Association is saying to us that we need to make weighty decisions, and we'll never have been tested ever in the history of our experience like we are going to be, and we have been even this week. What they have said as well, though, that they're very pleased with the reactions of some councils during this process. Federal and state governments are moving to targeted measures, and what they're talking about is proportionate public care, maintaining community confidence, communications to empower, and ensuring we have a coordinated approach within the national framework, and we play a major role in this. There are two important meetings that they've announced today, which will be held next week. State Cabinet on Monday is going to be investigating changes to council meeting procedures and having the public attend at meetings. What it's going to mean is that they'll have urgent changes to the Act so that meetings can be held electronically and not in person, with no public in the gallery, but we still have to make provision for the public to be able to listen in or tune in, and even in a separate room, to the public meeting. And Federal Cabinet are meeting Monday as well to look at what they're going to be doing about supporting our aged and vulnerable, and local government have been given a big highlight against that because they see that as a significant role that we've got to play. Council actions. Number one, we've got a very clear message that we need to document decision-making process along the way so that if ever there is any investigation into what we're doing, we'll be able to back up the decision that we've made, which includes decisions on closing facilities, starting up a BCP, having an IMT in place, etc. Structurally, we've held face-to-face meetings since we met on Tuesday with Neighbourhood Centre and Library staff on Wednesday and Thursday, all outdoor staff on Thursday as well, and nearly every single staff member in between. We've made a decision, pending the discussion that we had in this chamber on a forum on Tuesday, that three public libraries are closing, but with the language, it's very important that we're not closing the library for services. So the public access is suspended from 4 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, 21st of March. Our four neighbourhood centres will close with from close of business Sunday, with services suspended and the buildings closed. The Marion Heritage Research Centre will close from Monday, and the JP services have been suspended immediate as of yesterday, but a lot of that isn't to do with COVID-19. It's the because Justice of the Peace are not coming in because of their age and their discomfort with the current situation. And also the Attorney General has given us a directive to say that they are actually hired by the Attorney General and the situation's changed, which Ms. McKenzie will be able to tell you about. It's anticipated as well from our discussions, and we've got a very clear message that we're doing the right thing in closing businesses where people congregate. And there's been a big thumbs up to us and the other handful of councils who've actually made the decision. We're also anticipating, and I'd love to get your comments on it, suspending services delivered through the Living Ghana Cultural Centre, the Domain Theatre, the Marion Cultural Centre, and Gallery M. The outdoor pool at the moment, we haven't closed. There are other councils that have closed their pools, but because it's an outdoor pool, the message we're getting clearly that there isn't the danger that you would get in an indoor pool, an indoor facility. All large gatherings at the pool are not happening anyway. And because the weather's changed, it's very close to the end of the season, but we haven't made a decision on that just yet, but I would like to get some council comment if we can. On staffing, we've had two staff, from our ICT section who had the warning that they could have been exposed to the coronavirus, and they've been off for the week and they've been tested negative and be back on Monday. We've had two staff who are working from home because they're personally vulnerable and or looking after vulnerable people in their home. And I think we reported the other night that we had three staff from the outside workforce, one of whom had a wife who was exposed to the virus, and pending the results of her test, we didn't mess around. We sent three staff home who had close contact with the husband. She's come back negative and they've come back to work. What we're doing is we're splitting the teams as a priority from here. Maintaining social distance is one of the reasons for that, but probably a good example of what we're doing and why is that we're segregating the ELT such that the ELT, Mr. Haridas and Mr. Lyons are working from City Services, and myself and Ms. Dinmore are working from the administration area, and we'll be looking to split key teams. And one of those key teams, probably the most important, is our customer service people who are on the phones dealing with customers who are ringing in. There's been a significant drop in the number of people attending council's administration, but we'll be having two teams from that and probably moving more people whose jobs function lessons through this process, and it will, into the customer-facing areas, including being the phones. Working from home isn't our priority, but we've identified all of our staff. So we've got a listing of every single staff member, and we're determining who can actually do their job from home. We're providing technology if we do actually send people to work from home, but as I've said, we've only got a couple. Some councils today, we found out, are actually paying an allowance for people working from home to cover expenses. The City of Charles Sturt is $5 a day, and one other council is giving between $20 and $30. I want to say that that's not our intention, and we've never even countenanced it, because they'll be saving money anyway on travel and expenses and razor blades and all sorts of things. Volunteering, we're in close contact with our volunteers. Our volunteers, there's been a significant drop-off in people who actually are opting to not volunteer anymore because they're in vulnerable categories, which are people who are getting on in age. As far as volunteering, I'm very keen that staff are offered options for jobs, and not even in our council premises, so that we can actually help our community with the delivery of shopping and services for the isolated. West Torrens Council have informed us today that they're delivering food hampers through Foodland, and I'd love to get onto that and certainly get in touch with Food Bank, so if we have people whose hours are freed up, then, and it could be at any level in the organisation, we'll be doing it. As I said, we've got a staff status report for all staff listing their function, the criticality of their role, and it is interesting to have asked the question, if this didn't happen, if your job didn't occur for a certain period, would it be critical? And then quite a few, they're not delivering core services. We're listing childcare responsibilities and their capacity to work from home. Interestingly, with our demographic at work in the workplace, if schools closed, parents had to look after their children, we'd lose close to 40% of our staff. With leave entitlements, the issue is, we haven't got a solution on it, but our preference is that staff draw on their entitlements first. And we have a significant number of staff who have a lot of leave. If we're sending somebody home and directing them to self-isolate and they're not ill, it actually does create a question mark. The state government's got a policy on this, and it's been sent to us today by a number of people. But we need a policy, and we are developing, and we'll have it out early next week to tell people what the story is, a COVID-19 employment conditions policy regarding how we support staff who fall ill or who have care responsibilities, and or who are sent home because they're at risk of having been in contact with someone who's got it. I need to mention here that the ASU has written a letter today to all councils, and we're expecting one from the AWU next week, because it's been written already for the regional councils, and they're demanding that councils have a certain amount, 15 days, of special leave, paid leave, in the instance of anybody going on leave for any thing related to COVID-19, and that they're asking that it applies to casuals. We don't agree with that. In fact, I asked all the meeting of the CEOs, everyone was there today, all online with the government and the local government centre, and I asked that we get a uniform approach to that, that everybody responds to the ASU letter together, and the answer was no, that individual councils need to do it themselves, which I found frustrating. With casual staff, our policy is that we will have work for them if there's work to do. A number of our casuals are employed by Randstad, and quite a few, in fact, as well, are employed on government contracts, which don't allow us to keep paying them if they're not doing their job. We can't acquit that. So with casual staff, our feeling is that their employment will be discontinued, but we'll keep continuing our full-time staff. Obviously, they have no forced redundancy. There isn't a stand-down option, which is in the Act, and even under a provision under the AWU's agreements with councils. But that's a last resort. If it gets to a point where medical authorities call SA Health, who have enormous powers under situations like this, under a pandemic, which hasn't occurred since 1918, There is a provision in there that if they call a shutdown, that we can stand people down without pay, because we wouldn't be able to afford it. And it's not likely at the moment, but it may happen. It's happened in other countries. They'll continue to be employed, but they would be stood down. Nearly finished. Communication. I'd like just to talk about some of the things that we're doing, because in times like this, we need to get off our backsides and make a lot of effort in communicating face to face. And I'm proud of the management team. There's been a lot of effort this week in that, and it's got to continue. We've got daily communications, written communications, as well as the face to face that I mentioned. I put a video out this week, and the intention is to do it again, another one next week, because it's been well received. We're exploring how we're going to do a daily update going forward, because we're finding out that some staff in the outdoor workforce aren't getting these messages, and we've got to make sure that they're put through. I'm asking all leaders to MBWA, which is managed by wandering around, and I'm proud to say that it hasn't been ever as communicative as we've seen this week. We've got a dedicated page on our website with regular social media posts, as well as information for staff on our intranet, which is called Combi. The response to staff, the face-to-face, has been inspirational for me. I'm really proud of the professional way that staff have responded to the changes, especially in my meetings with libraries and neighbourhood centres. There hasn't been a single selfish response, and all of them have been saying that we're shocked, this is a surreal situation, but we want to look after our vulnerable community. We know who they are, we know who's isolated, and I've given them a challenge to make sure that in neighbourhood centres or libraries that they actually maintain the services they're offering and keep in contact with them, so that the people who are isolated don't become more isolated because of this terrible virus. Communication with EM, Kate, Ms. McKenzie is committed as part of the BCM process, BCP process, to give a daily update to elected members to keep you informed. Also, we'll be having our meetings through the online anyway. What we do ask is that we need to have a single point of contact for communications, and I would ask that either be is the mayor, and I'll have regular contact with him, or direct through Kate. I would ask that everyone is aware that the language that we use is really critical. Burnside caused a significant amount of angst when they were the first council to go out and say, we're closing libraries and neighbourhood centres, which caused a lot of distress in the community, because the truth is, just like us, they were suspending public access but not closing the service, because we'll all be providing access to books, and it may well be that we'll have staff delivering books, or there'll be the click and collect solution, which is existing anyway. City limits, we had 24 pages, and because of Tuck Your Truck going and a whole bunch of other things which are irrelevant, we're suggesting, even though our policy says it's 24 pages, we haven't got enough news, and I'd like to put to you that we would like to suggest that it's 20 pages, and we'd love to give elected members an opportunity, but it has to be pretty quick because we need to get it out next week, to resubmit your column if you wish, because the world has changed in the last few weeks. Other items, I'd just like to talk about critical services, non-critical gatherings, going cashless, social distancing, and business support. The critical services that we put, that the government is saying to us, have to continue. There's two, really, is support to residents and our vulnerable and our aging population. And the other one is waste, which we actually outsource, as you know. And I'm very pleased to say that in a lot of discussions with the Solo, our waste company, even though they are fierce competitors to Cleanaway, they've got a cooperative agreement such that if any of the Solo staff go down or vice versa, that they're drivers, and they will share drivers to make sure that waste is collected. And I think that's another one of the uplifting stories that you hear in situations like this. For council, all non-critical gatherings have been stopped, including all training. External meetings have nearly all been cancelled. People who are travelling here for meetings with staff from interstate, there hasn't been a single one, because most companies are just cancelling non-critical travel. We need to go cashless, and we've heard that message very clearly. The only place in council where now we have cash trading hands is the front desk at admin, and it's got to be difficult. We, our preference is obviously that people pay by credit card, but we've distributed gloves, hand sanitizer, and wipes to council, and there's a process that they're following as cash is transferred. The big critical thing that the government wants us to keep reinforcing really clearly and in all of our messaging is this notion of social distancing. The government today announced that it's not just 1.5 metres, but people have to maintain a distance of 2 metres between people at the workplace at all times, and that's for gatherings of less than, I know, and it's not happening up here. This means for us that teams need to consider how they meet so that they meet this health directive. We're sending information out to all teams. Now that some of our buildings are suspending public access, of course, we're going to explore whether we can actually move some staff, which is going to help with staff being separated, into some of these buildings where they're going to be empty, the Cove Civic Centre. There'll still be staff there, but there'll be plenty of space that people can work from. That's our preference rather than actually having people working from home. But it'll be a case-by-case basis, and it's going to be dictated by what the government says. We got hand sanitizers at all sites. We wipe down door handles regularly. We're wiping front desk. We're leaving the doors from the lunchroom down at the city services open so that when they start the day and end the day, they don't have to open doors. We're wiping down guardrails. We're working hard, in addition to our cleaning, which has been ramped up significantly in all of our facilities. That, of course, is going to say we're going to have an increased cost for that. There'll be a saving when it comes to the shutting down of business, some of our businesses. With business support, Donna and her team are working really hard to keep processing, keep the situation going so that we're helping business. There's a lot of business have been talking to that team and saying that it's tough, and we're aware of that, and they're laying people off. For supporting business, we're asking staff to keep their invoices coming in. It is a critical function so that we can receive their invoices and pay them quickly so that at least they've got some cash flow. That's all I have to say. We're in an advanced stage of business continuity planning, and it's a very formal process, but launch it today. I think you're aware that we've done a lot of work in this over the years, and we're quite advanced, and has done some great exercises, but never a pandemic, because you can never even envisage that happening. We had earthquakes and terrorist attacks and planes crashing, but our business continuity plan is mature, and we've enacted it, and it starts on Monday, and it's interesting times. Are there any questions?
All right. Any questions? Obviously not speeches at this point, but any factual questions from members? Councillor Vlescu?
The toy library?
Yes.
Okay.
We've been given information to take toys out of the front area, which we did straight away on Wednesday morning, and all toys that was there.
Okay.
Yep.
Also, why aren't we closing the pool straight away? Because whilst the pool's safe, there are some common areas. And if there's only a little bit of time and only a few people going, why aren't we doing that?
Yeah, we can do that. I haven't done it because we're waiting on the SA Aquatic and Leisure Centre to do it, and they've determined that it's reasonably safe. They've actually stopped access to their meeting rooms, and we have two down at the outdoor pool. So the only areas that they can access are the open areas. But there is an issue, and I'm conscious of it, in the change rooms.
Also, what are we doing in the contact areas to ensure that there is that safe distance? My mum came in with a tape measure today to give them a bit of a laugh. But are we looking at that? And are we looking at something like a camera, microphone and a screen so we can actually have some space? Because that's a concern, because other state departments aren't having the public access.
Yeah. It is an option, and I know a couple of councils have actually even closed their administration centre. By law, we have to have a principal place of connection with residents and a principal place of business. The message we're getting is that people actually maintain that 2 metre space. It's good, and you know that people are. I was actually here, and I saw your mum, and she saw her over the tape measure. And we had a chat, and she kept her 2 metre distance, and so did I. We've got signs up there at the front desk. We've got hand sanitizer. People are being incredibly respectful. We're not seeing the community issues that they're seeing in supermarkets. For the moment, I think that with the situation as it is, with 42 cases in South Australia, if it does escalate, then I think we'll need to do that.
And two more questions quickly. Will we have specific protocols as far as hygiene goes if our staff are volunteering out there, mixing with people at risk?
100%. Our priority is to the health and wellbeing of our staff. We'll be issuing with all the PPE that they need. If they were delivering books, for example, they would put them in a bag, they'd be wearing gloves, and those books would be wiped down when they came back to the library or were leaving. The library staff have got detailed protocols about things to keep people safe, and you wouldn't become face to face with that resident. And I'm thinking as well that the resident wouldn't want you to get close either.
And the last question, just about miscellaneous paid leave. It is something that's available in the ATO if you are waiting, if you are in isolation. Ironically though, if you are sick, you use your sick leave.
Yeah.
So is there an opportunity for us to use miscellaneous paid leave in order to prevent a perverse incentive for people to stay in the office or come to the office when they shouldn't be?
We won't let anyone. If someone came to the office and they were coughing and sneezing, we'd send them home straight away. I still want to gauge how local government is going to be dealing with this, because state government has got 15 days special leave paid, which doesn't in touch your leave entitlements at all. My preference, and I know some of my fellow CEOs, is that you take your leave. But there is an argument there, and the lawyers have suggested we get some paid advice, which I'd rather get from the local government association, and I'm pushing them to do it. But there is an option to say you need to take your leave, and we can actually say take your sick leave. Our staff have got a lot of sick leave and toil.
All right, other questions? Councillor Clancy.
Just further to that, if they're directed home but not ill, could most of them work from home?
Yeah, well, no. It depends what job they do. So if you're mowing lawns in open space, then you couldn't. But they have to go home, so they have to be out of the workplace. So obviously, if they can work from home, that there won't be an issue with them being forced to take leave.
Some ideas we've come up with at our work is to people could come in on a Saturday or Sunday. We wouldn't get loading, but just being less people in the office. That's and also doing different shifts. So I started at 6:30 and worked till 2:30 yesterday, just so there's less people in the workspace. And just with the community centre staff, are they still being paid and working? Are they planning, sorting?
No one's losing their job. There are some casuals, and we've got, for example, at Glandor, we've got people who do training in woodwork, etc., but they're government contracted pay, and they're going to lose their job until it comes back, which is really hard, and the people down there are finding that difficult, but that we have to do that. The rest of the staff, the challenge is that they need to maintain contact, and they're putting in place programs to maintain contact and still deliver services to residents. And there's some really creative ideas coming out, and it'd be a good idea to get a presentation of what they're doing maybe to councillors. There'll be people who are less than fully employed, and then we'll be looking to move them to other jobs like volunteering, staffing the phones and that sort of thing.
That you showed us before, the business continuity plan. There should be a loss of workforce plan accompanying that, I'm told. So I think that needs to be found and maybe brought up to speed. I do appreciate this is a rare event, maybe since 1919, that this council may have had to deal with something like this. And we've never had an earthquake, and we've never had a major fire, so this is it, and straight to level three. So, you know, it's challenging times, and I totally get it. The strongest question I'd like to put to you, Mr. Scull, is about casuals. I'm not happy with the explanation that basically, well, that's the award, that's their circumstances, and that's it.
So
now, you know, in normal
matters for debate, we'll leave to the debate. If you have a factual question,
well,
please
go ahead.
Well,
the question is how can we better, if we're really in the business of being kind and considerate and caring, we need to value these people. You know, we've decided to employ casuals, right? And in good times, it works well. We shouldn't be a good weather friend with our casuals. And at Gallery M, now Jason and I are liaisons, I've already had discussions with the manager there about the casuals employed there. Seeing them just dispatched as, you know,
we're
bad luck.
Really getting into speech-making, Councillor
well,
Howell.
I'd
this
like
is
to
question
know,
time.
I'd like to know how we can better deal with these people in a caring, considerate way.
All right. Mr. Scull, anything more on that?
I've had discussions, thank you, Chair, with a number of people about this, that we could make an ex gratia payment to these people or give them make work for them. It's not our intention to hurt anybody, and we know, all of us, that people are getting impacted by this all across the state. A lot of people are losing income or totally losing their job, and they're lining up outside Centrelink at the MCC. We just have to be careful when you're in my job to be able to justify and have robust decisions you make for every job, because we're spending a lot of ratepayers' money. We've made a promise that if there's work, there's not a problem with this. But there are some people, and I made mention of some people paid under government grants, like the woodwork trainer at Glandore. We won't get any money for that gentleman's work if, you know, we can't acquit it if he's not doing his job. And it's a dilemma. But I hear what you're saying, Councillor Hull, and it's not something you do with any relish. But I think we need to be prudent, just as every other business is doing in City of Marion.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor,
other questions?
Schools. Now, we've been talking about all this distances, but with schools, my daughters are going to two different schools, and they've both got massive populations. I can only hope that is the right decision that's been made. It just seems to.
So, what's your question for Mr. Scull?
Well, the question I have is: has the council got an opinion on this in terms of the double standards that seem to be applied in our community? Well, you've got a conflict.
Order.
Mr.
Scull?
I can't comment on the government's decision to keep schools open. The only thing that I can comment on is that I know that I've got to look after staff who've got responsibilities to care for students, and it's going to really impact us heavily. I've quite good friends with the CEO of SA Health and talked to him a few times this week, and he said that the proportionate response that's being made by the government, in his view, is satisfactory at the moment. And that, you know, based on the number of tests they're doing and the situation they're finding themselves in. But I can't comment on...
Okay.
One last question.
All right, as long as it's a genuine question.
It's the question in regards to our language and the words we use. And I noticed on your videos, one of the staff picked up on this, and I've seen it in social media. Social distancing really should be personal distancing, because social distancing gives the people who don't understand the impression that they're being deliberately socially isolated.
All right. Use of language, Mr. Scull.
I agree, but we need to be consistent in our language, in the federal government down to the state government. On every news article you'll see is talking about social distancing, and I think that we need to actually—they're actually in charge here. SA Health are running the show, and they're using that term. And my feeling is that if we start using different terms, even though staff have said to me they don't like the term, it just doesn't go along with the words that are being used by our governments.
So it's followed the
All right. So Councillor Pryor, then Councillor Schilling.
I have a more operational question. It's about the members of our outdoor workforce team who would go to a job in the same vehicle or something like that. You know, people who are who are by the nature of their job working as a member of a team, and they all go together. So do we have an idea for that, or is that something which we just have to wear?
Yeah, we're not. Thank you. It's a good question, and it came up on the meeting yesterday. We're limiting people to two per truck. Still going to mean that in the smaller trucks, you're going to be within 2 metres of somebody else, but they're... it's a difficult one because we don't have enough trucks, every single person to go out. But we're not putting the four in the truck anymore. And certainly not three in a bench seat. I need to look at that later.
Shilling.
Just want to pick up on your discussion about reporting cases through what's been set up through the LGA. You stated regarding... you've got to report cases. Now, is that just taking cases of residents, or is that just referring to our workforce?
It's staff and residents. So it's everything that's happening in your area of which we're aware. When somebody is actually diagnosed positive with COVID-19, they'll let us know, and the police know, because the police are actually charged under SA Health and orders for them to check on people who are supposed to be quarantined. It's what's happening in our area.
And will we be informed about those reported cases?
Of course, yeah.
And I'm assuming that that includes the elected body as well?
Of course, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I've just got one more. In all the shutting down of everything, in our business continuity planning, are we working on a plan to ramp everything back up at the end, or halfway through, or whenever we decide to do that? Do we have a clear picture of how we're going to come out of this little hole we're in?
Great question. Part of the BCP process, which is, as Councillor Hull would know, is really detailed and quite methodical, and very good because of that, is that you're planning from day one your recovery strategy. So the simple answer is yes. Yeah.
All right. Now, the motion drafted before us, it is basically operational matters. Mr. Skoll could do these things anyway, but it is acknowledging the problem publicly and giving him any authority that he needs. Councillor Pryor to move. Anything further? Councillor Shilling to second. Nothing further. Anyone against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. And now rent and utilities relief for clubs. Just before it's moved, in line with my earlier remarks tonight about minutes being self-explanatory, and I suppose consistent with my general wariness of the word issue when people really mean problem, as in you've got issues, I suggest in clause 5, instead of issue, you could put impact of COVID-19, bracket coronavirus, if you want to be clear about what that's about. Would anyone like to so move? Councillor Masika? You wish to speak any further?
No, thank you, Your Worship. I'm over to the motion, please.
Yep. You're happy with that specification?
Yep.
Yep. Thank you. Councillor Pryor, seconding. Done. Anyone against or questions?
Question.
Councillor Flescu.
What about if someone has paid some sort of subsidy, some sort of membership or something like that, and they'll be impacted by some of the services that we offer in the organisation? Are we going to provide a suspension of that membership until they can use it again, or a refund? One example is the toy library. There could be other things that we offer. If the pool's closed and they can't get the last 2 weeks of their 10 or season pass, things like that, will we need to have something different to cover that?
Through the chair, I can certainly talk about the pool where there is policy that allows for suspension to occur when people indicate they have a reason. I couldn't speak with any authority on memberships at the Toy Library. But that is certainly something, and whether they have similar provisions, people going on leave or having other issues to suspend. So we can take that on notice and keep members informed.
Yeah, well, certainly in the past, if people didn't use up their season tickets, they just forfeited the balance. So that's something for management to consider.
Just one other question. I don't know if it was the last item. We're not holding any community consultations, are we? Even if it's outside? Does it happen?
The next one that I'm aware of is for Yanyeri Reserve Playground. Thursday next week. Mr. Skull, do you know about that? Or somebody?
There was discussion today about changing the requirements for consultation against the annual business plan and budget, so which will be scrapped unless it's online. So I would suggest that any consultation will be looked at.
I think, and consistent with everything else we're doing, you wouldn't expect it to occur, but it's a good question. Mr. Haridis, anything to add?
In short, and consistent with the Chief Executive's update through the SIT rep, is anywhere where we've got contact with the public and community consultation on major infrastructure, we're looking at any alternative methods that don't require face-to-face to allow some business continuity, and where that needs to cease, we're ceasing it.
Well, that was the only thing in my diary for the next 3 months, so that's gone now as well. Other questions or speaking against, Councillor Hull?
It's a finance question, and it could have been asked on any of these items where there's money. The federal and the state government have pushed their budget back to October. Is our budget still, there's no change to our budget cycle?
Ms. McKenzie.
Through the chair, at this stage, no, but we are wondering whether there may be something that comes out of cabinet next week on Monday, so we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, one can imagine there would be a lot to work through if we were going to have our rates later, but then have our expenditure later as well. I mean, if we don't, the whole system is based on getting a huge influx in July, basically. So anyway, I'll leave that to the experts. If there aren't any other questions, all those in favour, carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, on page 33, as Chair, I really think that we have two separate topics, and I think that in the minutes it should be recorded under two different headings. I don't think we need a motion for that. But first of all, I'd like to take Councillor Hutchinson's request for leave of absence. As I understand it, it is primarily because he has several vulnerable family members and really wants to stay away. Councillor Schilling to move, Councillor Duncan seconded. Any other comment? Then I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So now let's deal with the meeting procedures. What you have there is the other two clauses. I think we've already talked about basically everything we can, making it an electronic meeting. Next Tuesday, Review and Selection Committee will be our first test. And if the state government allows council meetings as such to be other than in person, we'll move to that as well. That's what this is about. Councillor Telfer, moved that way. Seconded Councillor Pryor. Question? Councillor Hull.
It's a question that could be taken on notice, but I think this whole event can be a game changer with many aspects of our society. Going forward, does the administration think that this could be a precursor? Say if we've had councillors that have been hospitalised before. We had Councillor Pfeiffer come in on crutches once and hobbled in for a... Where I'm going with this is, could this become normal practice for people that have got a legitimate reason where they can't attend a council meeting?
Yeah, I mean, I've observed that a number of the modifications that we might bring in this period might be desirable enough to be permanent. But as you know, it's largely in the hands of state government, in addition to our own meeting procedures. Any other comment from management? Then, all right. Councillor Mason. Just Well, they won't have to dress in suits, for one thing. Councillor Mr. Scull?
I think we'll be wearing shorts, and at least from up there, we'll look professional. But quite seriously, we've been trialling it this week, and it's been very frustrating, and so I'm a little bit nervous, and this fingers will be crossed for next week. It's quite difficult to understand who wants to talk next. People are talking over each other.
There needs to be a mute button.
The sound goes in and out, and it's going to be interesting to see how it happens. I haven't thought about that, but staff can work from home, and as long as they got the ability to log in. I haven't even thought about, I probably should have. Are we going to have a meal here for anybody who wants to work from here? I don't know.
Ms. McKenzie.
Through the chair, I think the review and selection committee next Tuesday night will be a bit of a test case, so we will ask for everyone's patience during that meeting, but hopefully we will get some protocols set up as well, particularly for the people who are chairing the meetings, and then we'll also share that with members. There is facilities to particularly on Zoom to be able to have some conversations via text as well, so it may be that when people are wanting to speak that they, and we can help manage the list speaking via people writing it in the text. This is some of the stuff we're really going to have to work through.
And there are some interesting things you can do with Zoom, like polling, so you can actually have a vote, which could be the way that we do divisions. All right, would you like to just take us through that very shortly? Yes. The one on the left is not very lively.
So the other thing we're
organising. We need something to do with Space Invaders as well, with the virus thing happening. Yeah, can't wait to get it loaded up. Well, thanks for that. I think that's a good idea, if probably more than one person as well, especially for that first meeting.
A specialist now.
Excellent.
24 hours,
so
learning curve has been amazing.
Councillor Schilling?
I'm just wondering, with the review and selection committee next week, whether it's worth us doing it remotely but doing it here in the building in separate rooms so that we can fiddle that way and there's IT here, rather than being at our homes and being completely blind?
Certainly, if people would prefer that, then we can make that option available. Yep.
Yeah, I'm certainly willing to make that sacrifice. And it would be good then for actually each elected member participant to have a trainer with them, and then we might, I don't know if there's enough staff to go around to duplicate that for when we have a forum, but for the first time, it would be very useful, I suspect, until members are comfortable with these various operations. Anyway, so I don't know, we've put out the agenda for that meeting, haven't we?
Yes.
But I guess there's no issue with a further notice that it's taking place here, or? In a sense, it's optional, isn't it? Because, for example, well, Councillor Hutchinson's not even going to be around. Let's say it's optional. For those who wish to be here and have IT support, I think I will take that up. It's a good idea. Councillor Clancy, would you know offhand what you'd like to do? Externally? Yep. She's probably already Zoom proficient. You need the standing meeting procedures. It must be out of the range of the camera. So, did we actually get to vote on that? I think we should. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. The remaining items, personally, I don't see anything striking there. They could be moved on block, but I welcome any questions if people have any. Councillor Schilling wishes to move them on block.
On block.
Councillor Telfer, seconded. There's no.
Fine. We'll wait to RLC.
up. So, Councillor Schilling, you're happy to confine your... Sorry, what? What are those?
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
All of them? Let's just say all of them. Very well. If there's no more discussion or questions... There is a question, Councillor Hull.
We actually... I think the members have the opportunity to speak.
No, that only happens during the regular council meeting, and only on a special council meeting, only those matters that are on the agenda may be addressed. Sorry, there'll be no indulgent reports tonight. There is no point of order. All those in favour, carried unanimously. I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.